Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Hallelujah. You're welcome to church. Turn to your right or left and welcome who is sitting beside you. Tell the person you're welcome to church. It's good to see you. Some of you, it's been a while we saw you. And it's good to see you today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right. Are we ready? Are we ready for the word of God? How many of us were blessed last week? Wow. On behalf of this same Jesus Healing Campaign, the Crusade Directorate, we want to thank each and every one of you for your support, your prayers, your time, effort, and everything. Amstead Mampong was really a blessing, and they can't recover from what has happened to them. And you know that it is because of you, and we pray that you continue to support and partner. If you are here and you're not part of the partnership platform, I will encourage you to join. No amount is what little. Director, how much? You can start from 5 cedis. Yes, a month. And your 5 cedis will go a long way to transform a life. Hallelujah. So please, if you know you're not part and you want to sign up to the partnership platform, you can see me or Pastor Prince. All your pastors here are part of the directory team. So, Crusade, TMI Crusade, Accra, Edia. Amen. Okay. Just as the custom is, right? We will read our heart. Oh, I can't hear you. We will read our heart. Okay. I see you are used to the custom now. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Pastor Dennis, you're welcome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. First John chapter 5, verse 7. Can I get my Bible? Now, the media team seems... All right. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father. Let's go. Oh, we are reading together. There are three that bear record in what? In heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are what? One. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Our team scripture. Oh, Jesus. Are we still there? 13, verse 14. Immediately, you need some spiritual... Are we there? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are reading together, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen. Last scripture. Today we are reading very short scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Is everything safe over there? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. By the grace of God, last week we started a new journey since 2021 till last week. We have been on one particular journey, and that journey is the foundational system of the believer. So we did basic exploitation on the foundations of the believer. In 2021, I based my teachings on the basics of the kingdom. So we studied about the basics of the kingdom. Certain of the messages were on kingdom exploitation, how you become a kingdom citizen, sons in the Father's chamber, this name Jesus. We looked at messages like that. And in our entry into 2022,
In fact, as part of the kingdom basics, we study the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of salvation. Now, remember all those teachings. We looked at threat and enemies of the gospel of the kingdom. Do you remember all those teachings? They were all foundational teachings to ground you. In 2021, by the grace of God, we continued in the pursuit of our foundation. But this time, we really look at foundational system into what? Apostolic what? Dominion. Right? So we found out that the foundations of the believer stands on three things. Number one, the belief, the values, and what? The worldview. So we started with belief. We look at disbelief, unbelief. We came to value system, the idols of your heart. Do you remember those messages? Yes, we looked at all those things. And then look at initiating and developing the believer's what? Worldview. We look at all those things. And then we decided to look at the belief system, which is the core to the foundation. In that pursuit, we started with what we call the essential doctrines of the faith. And we did a short video on it. It's on YouTube. Don't be scammed. I like that aspect. You can be scammed. I said that there are many Jesus in the world. Now, he's not in Manchester City. He's now in Arsenal. Yesterday, he scored 2 goals. Of late, I don't enjoy football again. Since my team was bought, things have not been going well. So now I don't watch, because I know yesterday they scored us, right? So you know my team. You see, it's better I didn't watch. I just saved myself from an unnecessary heartbreak. So yesterday Gabriel Jesus scored 2 goals. You can be scammed. The fact that the name Jesus is mentioned is not that. So we need to authenticate the Jesus we ought. So we look at 5 authenticated factor that define the Jesus we believe. Then we came to things that are most surely believed by Acts. And we talk about the apostolic doctrine that was delivered unto us, the tenet of the church, what the church, the body of Christ, is being built upon. Then we came to what? Yes, help me. I've forgotten. What was the next sub-series that we did? Our life of what? Faith. And we studied our life of faith. That we believe that the life we live is the life of what? Faith. Then we looked at what? The various what? I know that today I'll get you, because you really don't follow the message on the Telegram page. And people are really enjoying the teachings. By the grace of God, the audio mark platform is really growing. We've had over 2,700 streams by now. Over 2,700 streams with the audio mark. People are really following. And over 80 countries. From over 80 countries. We thank God for that. We believe that God will continue to bless people. So from our life of faith, we came into the faith advance. And faith advance, we are looking at the advanced form of faith. And we look at the spirit of faith and the what? Gift of faith. And he said, in the course of the study of the advanced faith, there are certain things that are connected to advanced faith. Number one is what? Miracles and the supply of what? The spirit. So I give you a hint of what we are going to talk about as our next series. We dealt with miracles, and for us to be able to examine the supply of the spirit, we are now done with much of the foundational teachings. We are switching to a different level, and now we are looking at our informative what? System. The informative system, last week, as I said, is very essential to the environment in which the believer found him or herself. For you to be able to interact in your spiritual environment, one of the key things that needs to develop in you is what? Your informative system. I'm saying the informative system is made up of certain receptacles or organs that is able to help you to what? Communicate effectively in the spiritual atmosphere you find yourself. What were some of the organs? We have what? The seeing, sight, right? We have the smelling, that is what? We have what? The tasting. We have what? The hearing. We have what? The feeling, the touch. So these are spiritual organs which we will come there to study. But we found out that for we to be able to develop these organs, there is somebody who is responsible for the development of these organs. And when we are mindful of our communion with that person, we stand the chance to grow effectively in our spiritual informative system. And this person is called the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So it is very expedient that we know the Holy Spirit and how we can relate with him, communion with him. That will be the journey into the development of our spiritual informative system. Hallelujah. So last week we did an exposure and we looked at the very key which is our theme scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of what? The Holy Spirit be with us. Hallelujah. Now, today, we want to continue starting the first, still on the aspect of introduction. We are taking another very key, important topic today. And today, we are looking at the doctrine of the Trinity. How do the doctrine of the Trinity plays a vital role in our understanding of our communion with the Holy Spirit? So today we are looking at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we take a word of prayer, Father? We thank you. We pray as your word come unto us. Let it settle in our hearts. Give us the illumination we need in the name of Jesus. Amen. This church is a teaching church. And we believe that the believer is born to grow. And growth is intentional. Growth is not haphazard. It's very intentional. And two things that are essential to the growth of everybody is what? Environment and what? Diet. So what you are fed on and the environment in which you are born into affect your growth. Hallelujah. So we make sure that we create the necessary spiritual environment for you. And also make sure that we give you the right what? Spiritual diet necessary for your growth. So this is a very committed Bible-based teaching church, which is to see to it that you grow. In fact, my father in the Lord has started a rule that when you are 7 years old in a church, you need to be sacked from the church to go and start your own. Because by 7 years, you should grow. How many years are we now? Two, right? So be counting your years. Amen. So you want to be here forever? Benedict, you want to be here forever? Forever? Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. There is a day that we are going to ask Benedict, today is your last Sunday. Next week, Sunday, we are here. Go and start a branch. Hallelujah. All right, let's start. The consciousness of our new environment, which is our spirit realm, begins with an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We can look at this from the life of a very young man by name Ezekiel. Let's read the book of Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. And we will see how this young man, as young priest, started his ministerial journey by able to discern and decode the voice of God. Ezekiel, the chapter 2, verse 2. Can we read? And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet that I hear him that spake unto me. So Ezekiel was able to hear who was speaking to him when the Spirit entered into him. In other words, though Ezekiel had all the vitals of hearing or organs of informative system, he couldn't hear until there was something entering into that person to be able to hear. So he said, the Spirit entered me and I was able to hear who was what speaking unto me. If you want to understand this very script verse, you read from the preceding verses and then the first chapter. It was when God started giving him visions, revelations, and he wanted to talk to him, call him into ministry, tell him what he has to do. But before he could hear God and know that it was God speaking to him, the Spirit has to what? Enter into him. It's very vital that we encounter the Holy Spirit. And I pray that the Spirit of God will enter into you. If he doesn't enter into you, you can't hear who is speaking to you. So the Spirit entered Ezekiel, and his ability to hear was what? Activated. He became sensitive to the voice of God. We are surrounded with 1,001 voices. The Benku earth yesterday could be speaking now. Jesus is Lord. When we're in the village, there's a particular cassava. Now when you pound it and after eating, you know that this cassava will surely minister unto me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yesterday's experience has become a voice in your ears. Your parents has a voice. The world is telling you something. TikTok is speaking to you. There are many voices around you. But it takes the Spirit of God to know that this is God speaking. So our communion with the Holy Spirit is very essential, because if we don't get that activation by the encounter with the Holy Spirit, we are doomed. The average believer is surrounded by a lot of noise. Lot of noise. But when the Spirit, do you know the funny thing? Ezekiel was sitting among people at the river of, give Ezekiel chapter 1. Maybe you understand what I'm trying to say. There was no way you could know God was speaking to him if the Spirit didn't enter him. have said he was hallucinating the things he was seeing. Like, yes. You know, sometimes you can see certain things and you ask, what is wrong with me? Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the hot. Look at his condition. He was among which people? He was among which people? He was among the captives by the river of what? Sheba. That the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Captivity. Somebody was caught as a slave. In fact, you can't even have the peace of mind to think of your tomorrow. Not to talk of hearing God and seeing God. He was in one of the desperate situations. You see, this economy now, you are crying. His own was worse. He was a slave. Who didn't know what will happen to him tomorrow? But when the Spirit entered him, he heard God. So it doesn't matter whatever is around you. The most important thing is that an encounter with the Holy Spirit is enough. It gives it clears the entire environment and gives you the clarity to what? To hear God. So the consciousness of our environment starts with an encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's why communion with the Holy Spirit is what? Very important. Therefore, it's necessary that we understand and comprehend how to engage the Holy Spirit for our spiritual growth. Because I said last week that the information that you receive is paramount to the growth you can be able to grow to. You are what you are today. You call yourself matured, big boy, big girl, because of what you know. The most powerful world country in the world is not a country with a lot of ammunition. It's a country with information. That is USA. The things they know, you don't know. That's why nobody tried them. However, so we need to grow, and our growth is paramount on our relationship with the Holy Spirit. But before we start this whole thing with the Holy Spirit, there are certain basics that we need to establish before we start this journey. And one of these basics we need to establish today is the concept of the Trinity. Now, if you don't understand the concept of Trinity, you may find it difficult to embrace what we are about to do and even live the practicality of it. So one of the first concepts I need to help you to establish is the concept of Trinity. To first of all help deal with certain misconceptions you may have about God. Are you with me? And also help rearrange your ability to see how God and who God is. So today we are going to look at the concept of Trinity as one of our basic needful information to be able to comprehend and appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit. Upon that, we can be able to grow in our communion with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now let's start. There have been many arguments from many religions and some people about the concept of Trinity. In fact, people believe that Christians are polytheistic in faith because they serve more than what? One God. And one of the very key differences between Christianity and all other religions is this concept of Trinity. There is so much confusion. If I ask you right now, what is Trinity? Yeah, you have yet, oh, God the Father, God the Son. You can't even defend the concept. And what you can't defend is that you don't know. And what you don't know, you can't relate well with it. In fact, the other argument that the concept and the word Trinity is not even in the Bible. It is true. And recently, I found out that they said it is a term that was coined from some idol worship. And then Christians borrowed it and they are using it. Hallelujah. But we want to look at five principles that debunk the theory that Trinity does not exist. Five principles. I'm going to give you five principles which establish the concept of what? Trinity. Now, we read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4, right? Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 has been one of the argumentative grounds upon which people stand to debunk the theory of what? Trinity. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. What is it? Say, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is what? One God. That's been one of the weapons that have been used against the concept of Trinity. Today we will look at it. What is this scripture saying? And after we are able to apprehend it, we will know why, how to navigate through. I pray God will help us. Amen. You know, it is very difficult to break certain doctrinal issues if God does not give you grace. So sometimes I ask you people to pray for me a lot. Because some of the things that I dare to tackle, they are very sensitive. I hope you know. They are very sensitive. And to be able to break it to the minute point. You see, I'm giving you 5 principles, right? And these are concrete principles upon which we can stand to build the concept of Trinity. Let's start. Number one. I don't want you. The first principle is what I call 3-in-1 principle. The principle of 3-in-1. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Scripture established that there are 3 distinct personalities. Now, if you read it very well, you see that it's not talking about 3 distinctive titles. 3 distinctive what? Personalities that bear record in heaven, and they agree as what? As one. Let's read. For there are 3 that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These 3 are what? Are what? Now the word one is a singular what? How can we qualify it? Ah. These 3 are one. Sometimes you read King James, you don't take care. You ask your English teacher. But we are going to help ourselves. So if you look at this scripture is telling us that 3 things can exist as what? One what? Entity. Are there realities to this? Let's look at it. If you carefully study scriptures, you'll find out that there are the principle of 3-in-1 exists in scriptures. A lot of things are entities of 3. An entity of 3 or different personalities. Number one example. The unit of a man is made up of what? Help me here. Body, spirit, and what? And the body, spirit, and soul exist as what? One. That unit is called man. That unit is called. Are you following me? Okay. We are looking at the first principle, the principle of 3-in-1. So scripture states that God, you know that the word is Jesus. I don't need to go into all those kind of, because I know you know. John chapter 1, verse 1. All throughout. And the word became flesh and dwelleth among men. And we beheld his glory as the what? The glory of what? The very what? Son of God, full of grace and truth. We know all that. Is that not it? So we know that the word is Jesus. The Bible says that these 3 exist as one entity. And this principle exists because if you look into the Bible, we see one entity, but 3 personalities coming together to form them. Number one is man. You sitting over here. You are what? Made up of what? Body, spirit, and what? Soul. And you are one entity called what? One. Another example. The unit of family is made up of what? Father, mother, and a what? A child. So we can say family, we are referring to only one entity. But if you go into that entity, you're going to see how many people. Father, a mother, and a what? A child. Let me give you another example. What is the unit of Israel? Israel, first of all, is foundationally made by 3 and also made by 12. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the representation of what? Israel. And we have 12 what? Tribes called what? Israel. So when I say Israel as one entity, we are talking about how many tribes? 12. Another example. The act. Now let's do geography. Pastor Dennis, come to your area. Geography. What is the makeup of the earth? We know the earth is made up of all the crust, the mantle, and the what? The core. Hey! They've forgotten their geography. Social studies. So when we talk about distinct what? Characters coming together. Let's move on. I'll give you a lot of examples. We have the cosmos. The cosmos is made up of what? The sun, the moon, and the what? The stars. The temple is made up of what? The outer court, the what? Inner court, and the what? Holy of what? So one temple, but 3 divisions. This principle makes it clear by God defending this scripture that three can exist as what? One. So it is practically funny to say that God cannot have three personalities or express himself as three personalities, because he has made his creation an expression to tell you who he is and what he is. So the first principle is the three principle, that three things can exist as what? One entity, to have what? Different what? Personality. Do you know that your soul is different from your body? And there are expressions that can come from your soul that is not of the body. Are you with me? What is the food of the soul? Relationship. What is the food of the stomach? The body. If we are talking of fufu, relationship cannot replace fufu. Are you following? So each of these personalities are different. The food of the soul is relationship. So anybody who cannot feel belonged, starve of acceptance, starve of all this, become emotionally bankrupt, hungry, malfunction. So some people cannot love because they have never been loved before. Do you get it? Yes. Some people cannot love. They don't know what love is. Nothing more than Zimbo. Hallelujah. Because they have been starved of love. That is the food. Relationship is the food of the soul. So the first principle is that as long as we have evidences in scripture that three different or distinct things can exist as one entity, 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 is defended. That the Father, the Word, and the Spirit bear record and they are what? One. So there is reality of what? Trinity. Number two. I call this the Shema principle. I'll explain to you. The Shema is S-H-E-M-A. S-H-E-M-A. The Shema principle is Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. The word Shema is a kind of prayer by the Jewish people. And this prayer is a direct scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. It's a prayer. The Jewish people till today pray this prayer. Whatever they do, they make that declaration. It's like that. They are praying. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel. Yeah, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. This Shema principle established that God is what? Is one. God is one. And this has been the argument about the whole concept of Trinity. Now let's examine the scripture and understand what is over there. As I said, the word Shema means prayer. It's a Jewish term for this prayer. Now let's examine it. The Hebrew word used in this passage to represent the number one is called Echad. E-C-H-A-D. This word Echad happens to appear 1,360 times in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And this word Echad means one. Translated into English word as what? One. Are you following me? Now, the whole argument about this very scripture stating that God cannot be three in one is because the word used over here is what? One. But if you look at the root Hebrew word used in this scripture, this word means first, a union, and second, a quantity known as what? One. So when I say Echad, I can either be saying a union or a quantity what? One. But the problem is that because the English word is limited, when it was translated, The only thing we have for one in the English word is what? A quantity. One is quantity. Finish. One does not represent anything apart from quantity in the English word. But its corresponding translation, which is the Hebrew word called ikad, has two translations, two meanings. Number one, it stands for what? Union. Or number two, it stands for what? A quantity one. Now let's look at some places where this word ikad was used, and let's see what exactly it meant. Number one, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. That's the Genesis chapter 2. Genesis. Let me see. Are we there? Can we read together? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be what? Ikad flesh. One flesh. So you see it's over here. That two entities coming together. So the word used over here means ikad one. It's not a quantity one. He's talking about a principle called union. Another example. Genesis chapter 11 verse 6. Let's look at how God defined a group of people. Sometimes you say grammar is wrong, but it's the translation. King James, we have been having issues with King James, but let's look at the translation. And the Lord said, behold, the people is what? The one over here is what? Ikad. How can entire people become what? One. It's not talking about one as a quantity. It's talking about it as a what? A union. Are you following? So God showed Ikad union over here. And they have all one what? Language. Now, the word one language here was not talking that the entire world was speaking one language. What it meant that when you speak, I understand. When I speak, you also what? So God was talking about the concept of what? Understanding. It was not necessarily that they were speaking one language. When we are talking about they have one language, we are saying that they could say one thing. Hello? Are you following me? So what it means that they had one common understanding. You were speaking one language. It's just that when you come to Elder Prince and you ask him who is Elder Bless, what he will tell is exactly what Elder Joel will tell you. That is one language. You have been doing that. Don't you do that? Couldn't send money. Let me share this story. UCC. It's a real story. There was a quiz that three guys missed, and they planned to lie to the lecturer so that they can retake the quiz, because the quiz was 25 marks out of the 40 for your entire semester. So when they came, they told the lecturer that they had a funeral to attend and they couldn't make it back early. That is why they missed the Sunday evening. The lecturer said, no problem, Tuesday see me, you will retake your quiz. He called them and put them in three separate rooms and gave them only three questions. Who died? As that now, they are still having a visit. You think you are smarter than your lecturer? You see, they couldn't get one language. They didn't expect it. A lecturer was smart. Three questions. Number one, who died? What time did the funeral started? What time did you guys leave the funeral grounds? Let's see how you answer. For 25 marks, he wrote under it, note, all of your answers must be what? The same. The language is what? One. So it's not talking about one quantity, but it's talking about a principle of what? Union. Let me give another scripture. Ezra chapter 2, verse 64. Are you following? So the Shema principle here is not talking about the quantity one, but it also stands for what? Union. Therefore, we cannot say that the scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, can be translated as the quantity what? One. We can also say that it stands for the union of what? Three persons in what? In one. So when somebody come and tell you that the Lord our God is one, tell the person, go and find the root word of that word, one. The root word means union, and also the quantity what? One. So this very interpretation defines the principle of what? Trinity. Because the same Ikad was used for what? Marriage. The same Ikad was used for what? Oneness. Unity. Can you see it? Among an entire people building. If you read Ezra, Ezra was talking about the church, yes. He said, and the whole congregation together were what? 42,000 and what? 80. Continue. Besides their servants, and you, if you read, he spoke about that they were with one heart singing and praising God. With one heart. Are we following? So it is very wrong to interpret the scripture based on the translative word. It is right to interpret the scripture based on what? Its root word. And the root word is what? Ikad. And Ikad is not only for quantity one, it's also for what? A union. So we can say, and we can boldly say that the word our Lord God is one represents the union of what? The three persons in what? One entity called what? God. Principle number three. Have I confused you? Is it clear now? So can you define the Trinity principle now? Okay, let's continue. Principle number three. The let us principle. Let us in inverted comma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you are not sleeping on me. Are you enjoying? Okay, let's continue. When we look into scriptures, there are certain references where God was seen or heard of communicating with certain people and referring to them as what? As. And let's examine that concept as over there. Could that be the Trinity? Let's examine it. Because we saw God engaging certain personalities in what? In conversation. First one is Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our heart. What word is that? Let what? Us. So it is a let me. Let us means that there were certain people who are also a contributing factor to what is going to take place, right? So let us means that we need to put our forces together to produce one entity, right? Let's continue. And let them have dominion over what? The fish, the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the creeping, and over all the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The earth. Continue. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female he them. Hallelujah. We find out from this scripture that God, before creating man, it was what? A joint task force. An agreement between a particular council to create the man being in the image and what? Likeness of the what? Us. He never said that we should create them in my image. He said, let us create them in our what? Image. So it means that this is not just only God speaking, in quote. There are certain people present there who are part of what is going to take place. Now, there have been an argument that this us could stand for angelic beings, which the Bible also calls them the sons of God. I've spoken about this. That anything that comes directly from God, the parent material of that object, is called the Son of God. Do you remember I spoke about this? So Adam, are you following? So Jesus was not the first person called. The distinction is that Jesus is the only begotten. But there are other versions of sons of God. And one of those versions are angels. Now, there has been an argument that this statement could be angels that God is talking about. The argument is in the book of, let's read, Job chapter 38, verse 4 to 7. Let's read that one. Job chapter 38, verse 4 to 7. Job chapter 38. Now, we want to define the principle of the ask. Could it be the Trinity or any other person? Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Are you following? Let's go. Who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, and who had stretched the line upon it? Verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? God was asking Job questions when Job was trying to bring certain legal matters as to why God was not, God wants him to come and, but he's wiser than he should come and give him counsel. When he was creating the earth, he was there, so he should come and give him counsel. Verse 7, where my emphasis is. When the morning stars sang together and all the songs of what? God shouted forth joy. So the sons of God existed before the foundations of the earth. And when we talk about the sons of God, in this very reference, we are talking about angelic beings. Because anything that comes directly from God, parent material is God himself, is called the son of God. So people said that this very scripture could refer to Genesis chapter 1 verse 20, let us. But here is the defense from that scripture. The defense is that he said, let us make them according to our image and what? And likeness. Now, the truth of the matter is that angels do not have resemblance and the formation of God. Now, if you look at us, God, angels are spirit, right? Angels are spirit, aren't they? And they have many forms of manifestation. But angels are not the direct image and the likeness of God. Are we in the image of an angel? Do you have wings? Do you have wings? Do you fly? I believe I can fly. So it starts to depend that as long as we don't have image and the resemblance of angels, then God was not talking to these sons of God. He's talking to somebody who is just like him. And therefore, the concept of the Trinity in the book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 7 is established. Let us. Now, I will have a problem if the word let us was only once in the Bible. But I'm going to give you two other places where God used the word let us. Genesis chapter 3 verse 22. So the let us principle also defends the concept of the Trinity. That God exists in three persons. The triune God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3 verse 22. And God said, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of what? Church, you are not reading with me. It means you are sleeping on me. Behold, the man is become as what? One of what? Who is the ass he's talking about? Is it the angels? No. He continued to define what he said, to know good and evil. Hallelujah. Let me give you the last one. Genesis chapter 11 verse 6 to 7. The issue of the Tower of Babel. Let's see the language of God over there. What did God say? Genesis chapter. And the Lord said, behold, the people is what? And they all have what? One language. And this thing they begin to do. And now nothing will restrain them from what? Which they have imagined to what? Let go. Go to let us what? This is let me. He said, let us what? Let us go. So the let us principle established that there exist three persons in one unity who interact, communicate, move together, work together And they exist as what? One entity. And this is what we call the God in three what? Person. So this let us principle establish the fact that God is three in what? In one. Not God as one quantity. I'm going to give you the fourth one. And we'll go to the fifth one. Then I'll tell you why this Trinity concept is very important. I'm going to tell you. Are you following? The fourth one is the pluralist word Elohim. The word Elohim. Welcome to Theological Seminary, course 104. But you see, these things are not for only pastors. You see, these things serve basics for you to appreciate certain things, realities of the kingdom. Now, you now know that yes, it's not just that people are saying that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No. You know that by that there is a way to justify and defend and prove that there is a reality like that. And therefore, you can be able to have encounter with this reality. It's not an imagination. What I'm trying to do here is not to help us leave the realm of what? Imagination. And settle in the realm of reality. Some of you were told God the Father, God the Son, and that is all you know. You just live in the... No. We want to see from scriptures the reality of it. Then when we know the reality, we can live this reality and encounter this reality. Hallelujah. Now, when we say a pluralistic word, we are talking about a word that is such that it can serve beyond one singular function. A typical example is an Elwe name. When you hear the word Mausi, be very careful to conclude he or she. You have to see the person to know whether he's a he or a she. My name is Yaira. My sister-in-law is also called Yaira. That's a pluralistic word. When you hear the word Jackie, you should be very careful not to concuss. There's somebody called Jackie Chan, right? Yes. So this is so there are certain words we call them what? Pluralistic words. These words stands for beyond one singular word. The word Elohim is also a pluralistic word, which stands for more than what? One word. God. Singular word. Now, it is very, very fascinating that when Moses went on the mountain to receive revelation of time past before even the earth was formed, the first revelation he had about God was a pluralistic nature of God. Although people are trying to defend this Elohim as a principle of many numerous characters of God, the reality is that this word Elohim stands for three persons he saw as one entity in the beginning. God. Genesis chapter 1. And this God here is not a singular representation of a God. He's talking of a pluralistic representation of three persons he saw as one deity. So if we said Elohim, we are not referring to one singular entity. We are talking about pluralistic entity. If that be the case, then the Trinity is a reality. You don't agree with me? Do you agree with me? So is that what is the word God, Elohim? When you say the word Elohim, the singular version of it is Eloha. So Moses could have said that in the beginning, Eloha. He said Elohim. It means that what he saw was not a singular representation of an entity. He saw more than one, he's living as one. So when I said Mausi, Mausi can be a male or a female. Yes, and both of them are there. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? So it is undefendable. Do not exist in three persons. It's undefendable. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's go to the fifth manifestation in the Bible. The fifth principle is the manifestation of God for the first time he appeared in scriptures. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, the first three verses. You see, when you go to a gathering, one of the first things you do is to introduce yourself, right? And in Genesis, before God started everything, he introduced himself to humanity. Let's see how he introduced himself in the first three verses of Genesis. Let's go. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created what? Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what? The what? Spirit of what? Other translation said the life. Other translation said the breath. It all stands for one personality. The Spirit of God. Moved upon the face of the waters. Then the next verse said, and God what? Said, let there be what? Light. John chapter 1. And the light. John said, the light became what? The life of what? Man. And we behold the light as a person. So you see the Trinity appearing in the first three verses. Nobody came in. It was them. Can you see it over there? Yes. So the introduction of it in the Bible started with the Trinity. God, the Spirit, and the what? The Word or light. And in John chapter 1, we saw that the Word or also the light, because by this time, cosmos was not created. If you read down, that's when you found out the cosmos was created. So what was this light? The Bible said in Revelation that there shall be a city Jerusalem, said there shall not be lighted, because he is the light, the Lamb. The Lamb is the light. And we know that the Lamb is who? Jesus. So this light here is not talking about cosmos, it was talking about the appearance of the Son of God, Jesus. So even in the introduction of themselves, introduction of their revelation, they introduced themselves first to him. Moses, this is the three of us together as one. I pray that you will live here with this reality in mind. That this concept of Trinity is not an imaginary something. It's confirmed. It's a reality. And we need to live by it. Why did I say all this? And why are we going through all this trouble to understudy and defend the concept of Trinity? We are going through this concept because we need to know God by essentials or by essence and by functionality. We need to know God by essence and by functionality. If all we know about God is his essence, that he exists. And when I say essence, I'm talking about he exists. And the three in one are equal. But we don't know the functionality of each of these three in one, then we will not benefit. So in essence, God exists as three in one and they are all equal. But in functionality, they differ. So the reason why God took all the pain to expose his Trinity in scriptures is because he lives as essence and has a function to play in your life. And the function that God plays in your life is established on the personalities he is. In other words, there is a role of the Father, there is the role of the Son, and there is the role of the Holy Spirit. It is by this that Paul, by revelation, saw in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of what God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit must always be with us. What he says that the functionalities of God is always active in the life of the believer. Such that love, grace, and communion is handled by three different distinct personalities. So if all you know about God is by essence, he's one, you will not be able to benefit fully with what must be with you forever. So the concept of Trinity is to defend all. The concept of Trinity is to help you to relate to God by essence as one. And by functionality, the three persons. Hallelujah. I don't know if I have confused you. I follow you now. Now I've gotten your attention. You thought I was just coming to talk about Trinity. No. There is a reason to hit into certain theoretical doctrines so that we can deduce the benefit for ourselves. If all we know about God is his essence, It's 3-1. We will lose. Apostle Paul didn't just write 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14 for a reason. As the concluding part. That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you or be with us. Be. Exist with us. The word be means what? Exist. Real with us. This speaks about the functionality of the 3-in-1 God. By in essence, they are one. What I'm trying to say is that when you engage God in some aspects, the functionalities will play a role. Now let's dig into the functionalities quickly, because that is where our whole team is born from, the communion of the Holy Spirit. The word of God is real. I was so blessed when I was really studying this very concept. I said, wow. Wow. Now the functionalities of God is made known through two defined systems. Number one, the desires of the three persons. Number two, what the three persons offers. Inability to perform their functions, each of them have their own separate desire, and each of them have their own, what they offer, what comes from them. It's only them that can offer that. Now let's start with the desire. God the Father desire sons. If you check through scriptures, anytime we talk about God the Father, all he desire is sons. The Bible said that he gave out his only begotten sons that he may have many sons. Romans. That Jesus was shown in Hebrews. He said Jesus was shown that God will have many what? Sons. Redeemed sons. Because the desire of God is to have sons. Because he's a father. And one of the things that define fatherhood is what? Ability to produce sons. So in the day of creation, when they were creating, what the Father was happy about was that there is a production of what? Sons. So even when man fell, the part he contributed to bring man back was to get them back as what? Sons. So the Bible said, for therefore we are what? No more slaves but what? Sons. And if we be sons, we are heirs together with Christ. Because the desire of the Father is to have sons. So what God desires in you is sonship. He said, today I've called you my son. Are you following? So when God looks into you, his desire is sonship. Sonship. All you can be to God is a son. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Whenever God looks into you, he desires sonship out of you. The Bible said the creation await the manifestations of the sons of God. I'm talking about people who are heads of the things of God. Stand and make sure that they establish the will of God. It sons. So the desire of the Father, whenever he looks at his creation, the redeemed Christian, is that he wants to see sonship. Want to see sonship? Are you a son? So you are not of any benefit to the Father if you are not able to attain to sonship. We need to meet the desire of the Father. We need to press forward to become sons. Because by functionality, he looks up, he desires sons. The dominion principle established was for sons. So whenever the Father looks down, all he desires is to see sons. That is my son. God, have you taken note of my son Job? Have you seen Job? Whenever the sons of God at work, God sit and cross his leg and then start to, that's my boy. I pray, may God see his desire manifest in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that God will see his desire, the Father will see his desire manifested in you. The Bible said, oh, Gabrado Shatakaya, the creation awaits the endless manifestations of the sons of God. So the desire of the Father is sound. What about the desire of the Son? The desire of the Son is a bride. Said, and shall be presented as a bride, spotless bride, a chaste virgin unto God, unto Him. That is why it is going to be at the feast of what? Wedding. Yeah. Because all that the Son came to die for was what? Come to pay the bride price for a bride. So all you have to Jesus is a bride. That is why marriage is the representation of God, Christ, and the church. Christ as the husband, the church as what? The wife. So all that God expects from you is you present yourself as a chaste bride. Spotless. Are you that bride? Or you're into an act of harlotry? Why we cannot get ourselves involved? When I talk of harlotry, I'm talking about you having multiple idols in your heart. That is why serving another God is haram. Because you are cheating. You are an adulterer. The desire of the Son is that you are only the wife. He's your only husband. You don't share him. What is taking your place? Is it iPhone 14? Is it your work? Are you meeting the desire of the Son? That you are wholly consecrated. Take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. That is the desire of the Son. That you be a bride. Spotless. That's why he paid the bride price for you. He purchased us with his own precious blood. I pray that we will understand our life of consecration. When you said you give yourself away, we are talking about you giving yourself as a bride unto the bridegroom who came to pay for you. So to the Father you are a son, to the Son you are a bride. He owns you, he possesses you, he's your everything, and you are his everything. That's why he laid his life for you. He said, husbands should lay their life for their wives, as Jesus did it. Marriage is the representation of our relationship with Christ. I pray that you remain a bride. You not cheat on Jesus. I hope you are not sharing him with somebody. I hope your work has not become the side cook. No, say Obano is side check. Oh, your bench Obano will be a no friend is saying. Side then. The matter make hot. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So the desire of the Son is bride. And we are still on the functionality. So you see, when you know the essence, you see the functionality, you are seeing the realities here now. Then finally, the desire of the Spirit is a temple. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And the Spirit of God dwells in. When the Trinity were created in the course of creation, what the Spirit desired is that you have a place that will be called his temple. A habitat. A place of host. That he can be able to sit there, and then his characteristics will manifest. He looked for a shape he can occupy, and his characteristics. So are you a temple unto the Spirit? When we talk about temple, we are talking about a conducive atmosphere that is able to give the same feeling to a spirit as though it is in the same habitat. So if the Spirit of God leaves heaven, that is why he could never feel comfortable in the structures made up by human hands. Wood, stone, and clay could not contain him, because the very habitat that could give him that conducive stay was the spirit of a man. So the Bible said, for our spirit has knit together with the Holy Spirit. We cannot be separated. And that is why the expression of God comes out from you. That is where power comes out from. Because it's power. That is where you are able to live the true character of God. Because that is it is in that place. The temple, your body is a temple, and the spirit has possessed that temple. And therefore he begins what? Express himself through you. I pray, may you be found worthy as the temple of the Holy Ghost. May you be found worthy as the temple of the Holy Ghost. The desire of the spirit shall be found in you. That the expressions of God, that the expressions of God will be established. So the functionalities of the God, the three persons, is first of all designed by their desires, what they desire in you. If you don't understand it, that is why if you don't understand from this point, you struggle. These things is a normal reality in life. As I stand here, to you I'm your pastor, but to my wife I'm the husband. And very soon, to another person I'll be out, a father. And I live to meet each of them out full expectation. I need to be faith as a pastor here. Need to be faith as a husband. Need to be faith as a father. Because these are the desires of these three people. When the Godfather looks at you, he desires to see son. When the son looks at you, he desires to see a bride. And when the spirit looks at you, he desired to see a temple where he can live wherever he is and comfortably dwell there for the manifestation of the will of God. If the kingdom of God will be established on the earth, then God will need a lot of temples to occupy. For the will of God to be established over an environment, then there must be consecrated temples where it can give expression to the things of the spirit. So God desired three different things, but it's the same person. When you're able to meet these three things, you see that the fullness of the Godhead is captured in you. So we are sons, we are bride, we are what? Temple. Now, because of these three things they desire, they had something that each of them offers. Let's look at it. God the Father. What comes from the Father as a result of his desire is love. Whenever you engage the Godhead, with relation to love, it is only supplied by God the Father. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 16. Oh, Vela Maku Shaba. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 16. Are we there? Are you with me? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our heart, which has what? Loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Our Father loves. John 3:16, for God so loved. The supply from the Father is always love. And the expression of the love is that he gives. He loved the world. And he loved us. The book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 10. He loved us that he gave us everything. Everything he has, he gave it to us. The Bible said that if God could not withhold his only begotten son from us, how much more? The everything of God is one person, Jesus. Because he loved us, he gave him to us. All that the Godfather can do is to love. And he still loves. So if you look into scriptures, Anytime we are talking about love, it will relation to the Godhead. The Father is a picture that out appears. Because he's the supply of love. Herein is what? Can we hear in his what? Love. Not that we love God, but he what loved us and sent his what? Son. So everything God is doing for you is an expression of love. God Father. Yes, that is what he offers you. And that is what 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14 established. The love of what? God. What is with the believer from the Father? What God has given to the believer to build the believer constantly is his love. It's his love. Jesus constantly spoke about this love of God. In John chapter 3 verse 16 is there. Go to John chapter 5 verse 20. John chapter 3 verse 35. In John chapter 3 verse 35, he spoke about the love that God, the Father has towards him, that he gave him everything. The Father, Jesus spoke about the love. He said, because my Father, he gives me everything. John chapter 5, verse 20, he spoke about that he shows him everything. Now, the truth of the matter, it is the love of the Father that gave birth to his desire, which is he ought, we becoming what? Sons. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Quickly, let's read it. The love, what he offers, what he have, what he, that's what the Father have. Love. Everything he can give you is love. So if you want love from the Godhead, you go to the Father. And what is his love? The Son. He gave him to us. We are what manner of love that Father had wrought, bestowed out upon us, that we should be called sons of what? God. It was his love that gave birth to us. Give birth to his desire. His love. Give birth to his desire. So what manner of love? Love. Father loves. Let's move on. The desire of the Son is bride. And for that, what do the Son offer? All that the Son offers is what we call grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives grace because all he have is grace. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Son, all he gives us is grace. So when we talk about encountering grace, it is the supply of what? The Son. It's the supply of the Son. And the Word was made flesh, and we dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the earth, the only begotten of what? Full of what? Church. Full of what? Help me. Full of what? And what? All that the Son has is grace. What is grace? In grace is salvation. In grace, grace. Expression of grace is salvation. Expression of grace is honor. Expression of grace is riches. Expression of grace is healing. Expression of grace, oh Jesus, is power. Expression of grace is glory. I pray for you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with you. May the grace. Finally, the desire of the Spirit. The Spirit desired the temple. And for that matter, what does the Spirit offer? The supply of the Spirit is what we call communion. It's what we call what? Fellowship. So John chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14. The communion of the Holy Spirit represents what the Spirit what offers as a result of his what? His desire. And what he offers is what we call what? Fellowship. What is this whole fellowship? This fellowship stands for friendship. And the comforter. It's only friends who comfort. So our friendship with the Godhead is built with our connection with what? The Spirit. He offers partnership. He said, he shall teach you what to do when he comes. Partnership. He work hand in hand with you. So you see that anytime there's the move of the spirit, men are in performance. Communion. Whenever there's the move of the spirit, men perform. And the spirit of the Lord came upon him. Have you been reading that? And men were doing things that they could not do naturally. Because that is partnership. That is communion. That is koinonia at work. Partnership. So in that communion is the partnership of man and the spirit to bring a task to accomplishment. He shall teach you what to do. In that communion, in that fellowship, is his leading as many that are led. The path of the righteous are ordered by God. It is the spirit. Who does that? He offers leading. He offers you his leading. He leads you. In that fellowship, he directs. That is where the counsel of God comes from. Do this. Don't do this. Go here. Don't go here. I pray for you. That is why we are going to study the communion of the Holy Spirit. So that we can be able to benefit from the supply of the Spirit. We know that the grace of the Father is with us, of the Son is with us. The love of the Father abides with us. But we need to engage the communion of the Spirit. We need his partnership. We need his friendship. We need his leadings. We need his direction. I pray for you. As we journey in this communion of the Spirit, oh, may you benefit fully. May people see the partnership of the Spirit with you and know that this indeed is the doing of the Lord. I pray for you that, oh, Badula Vasaya, people will know that the part of you is ordered by Lord by God. I pray for you. You will not miss your providential way. You will not miss it because there's a supply of the Spirit called communion. I pray for you that you will not miss because there's a supply of the Spirit called partnership. Oh, Peter was just a mere fisherman. But in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit came upon him, there was a partnership that a man who feared crowd was able to bring 5,000 people to Christ. I pray for you. It got to a time that by this partnership, the aprons of Peter was able to heal sick. The same Peter who feared and ran away could stand and rebuke the spirit of death. I pray that your communion with the Holy Spirit will be a reality. What is terrifying you? You think you fail in life? I've not seen anybody with the communion of the Holy Spirit being a failure in life. Because mere men, mortal men, like David, like Samson, or like Jephthah, were able to do things, the Bible said, that by the help of the Spirit. I pray for you. Oh, Velamakusai, I pray for you. This is a year of the communion of the Holy Spirit. Because it's a year of influence. And a year of prosperity. We need the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Oh, lead us, oh God, into our path of success. This is a year of prosperity and influence. And that is why we need the communion of the Holy Spirit. That the directions of God will come unto us. He shall lead you in the path of righteousness. And he will restore you. So I pray for you. I pray for you. That you will allow yourself to commune with the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel said, when the Spirit entered me, I began to hear who spoke to me. I pray for you for an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I pray for you for an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Spirit will enter you now. Labra kumpa la Messiah. Minka papa. Hey, mado predina masaka. I pray the Spirit will enter you now. I declare that the Spirit will enter you now. That there is a partnership of the Holy Spirit coming to your life. There is a leading of the Holy Spirit. Bring no more shatter. Hey, Maka Papa. This year is the year of the communion of the Spirit. Our life will not be a mess because God will be on your feet. When you are here, Adabra Koshata. When you are here, I don't know what you heard today. But I'm talking about the communion of the Holy Spirit. As the functionality of the Godhead ministered unto you, that he wants to partner with you. The destiny of you is only secured by the partnership of the Holy Spirit. So this is what Paul said, must be with the believer, the communion of the Holy Spirit, the directions of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may God open your eyes. May God open your ears. May you be sensitive to his directions. The Spirit of God wants to use you. You are his temple. He wants to take expression in you. And therefore he's partnering with you. He wants to lead you. He wants to be that friend. Oh, what a friend. Oh, Vedebra Kabasaya. Abrabo Shetete. Ah, Dimako Vela Basaya.
So gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Just breathe.